If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7, a word about overcoming anxiety. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And let's pray. Lord, we're living in a world today that just gets us so many times and gets us down and gets us worried and afraid. We have so many things we're dealing with in our personal lives that just stress us out. I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, how we can have that absolute peace in the midst of all the storms. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last February the 13th, outside of Anchorage, Alaska, Shannon Stevens was visiting her family in a yurt right out there in the middle of the bush. And the bathroom was an old-fashioned outhouse with a pit underneath of it. So her first night there, she had to do her business. She walked out to the outhouse, sat down on the toilet, and something bit her on the backside. Screamed and almost jumped through the roof. And because she thought it was probably a mink or a squirrel, down in the pit, she opened the lid to let it out. And what do you know? A big old black bear stuck his head right out of that toilet. Holy Alaskan bush people, folks, there was a bear in that outhouse. And Shannon Stevens ran all the way back to that yurt and said she'll never be the same again, ever going to the bathroom. You talk about worry and stress and anxiety. Now, none of us listening to this sermon this morning will probably ever get bit in the butt by a bear going to the bathroom, or at least we hope not. But let me ask you today, what is it that's got you worried? What's causing you anxiety in your life? The stress of the daily grind, the pandemic, the lockdown, the absolute mess that this country is in right now, that stress is absolutely killing us. And it's sucking all the joy out of our lives. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can overcome it. We turn today to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7. The book of Philippians tells us over and over again that we should have the joy of the Lord. And our text today tells us how we can have that joy even when we're anxious and coming unglued. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, even when everything around us is coming apart at the seams, we can still have that peace of God that passes all understanding. Our text this morning, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, tells us three things that we need to do in order to overcome the anxiety and have that peace that God wants us to have. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to overcome anxiety, we need to rejoice. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here in verse 4, and he means it so much, he even says it twice. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now saying, "But Kevin, I don't feel like rejoicing." You think Paul felt like it? Paul spent 30 years killing himself doing ministry for the Lord. And it took a toll. Mocked, beaten, whipped, stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked and snake bit. And now he's writing the book of Philippians from prison on his way to walk in the green mile to have his head cut off. But notice Paul's not saying, "Woe is me." He's saying, "Wow is he. Rejoice in the Lord." Talk about overcoming anxiety. Let me ask you this morning, what's causing you that anxiety? Your parents are talking about getting a divorce. Kids at school are trolling you on Instagram again. Your company goes under and you lose all your retirement. Your kids won't speak to you anymore because you're conservative. You're starting to forget things that you were supposed to remember, and you're afraid you're getting Alzheimer's. The doctor told you the cancer has spread to your lungs. The panic attacks are so bad, you think you're going to die. Over 40 million Americans are suffering from some kind of anxiety disorder, and those are just the ones who admit it. COVID has got everybody living on a raw nerve. Because the powers that be made it a point to scare the living hell out of people because of it. And what's the result? 42% of Americans are so deathly afraid of COVID, they don't even want to come out of their house. 22% of Americans are still so deathly afraid of COVID, even after getting a vaccine. 60% of Americans say they will still wear a mask even after officials give the all clear. Mission accomplished. And it's the younger people who are freaking out even more than the older people. The video you see on the screen is a young woman having a meltdown in an elevator because a delivery woman gets on the elevator without her mask on right, according to the young woman.
My girl here wants me to come out of the elevator so she can come out of the elevator.
Because it's a small space, we're supposed to maintain social distancing. I don't understand why you can't just politely step out to allow me out of the elevator. When I asked you nicely, while you have been wearing your mask.
You didn't ask me nicely. Hold on, my girl. You want to stand in the elevator with me and catch it? Like, you're not making sense, and you might as well get up at your floor.
I'm trying to get up at my floor. I can't come close to you. Do you want to understand that I am extremely compromised immune system? You are a delivery person incorrectly wearing the mask inside of a big building.
Is this incorrectly worn, guys?
Is this
incorrectly worn?
That wasn't like that.
Are people ready to pop a cork or what? I understand the concern. I don't understand the fear. People in Grand Rapids, Michigan are so freaked out about COVID, they're taking the books that they are borrowing from the Kent Library there, taking them home and microwaving them in the microwave oven without realizing those books have RFID chips in them, so the microwaves are blowing up. The library already quarantines all returned books for 72 hours to take care of any virus. Don't cook the books, people. Come back off the ledge. First we run out of toilet paper, and now we're running out of ketchup. And worst of all, now that there's no more Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, we're never going to have any more tater tots. Another riot in Minnesota. Another mass shooting, this time in Indianapolis. The fascist left drunk on power and control. Big Brother censoring all dissent on social media. People, this isn't the American dream. This is a socialist nightmare. This is America in 2021, thanks to the left. Talk about anxiety. And notice, what's the cure? Verse 4, Paul says rejoice. And notice he doesn't say, if you happen to think of it or if you don't have anything else to do. Because this isn't a suggestion, it's a command. Amen. You say, but Kevin, I don't feel like rejoicing. So what? Don't feel like it, just do it. Then you will feel like it.
Amen.
And why do we rejoice?
Because God can control.
There's one reason. Why do we rejoice? Because freaking out is not one of the gifts of the Spirit. Joy is. And all through the Bible, anxiety is a sign of people who don't believe in God or who don't trust God. Psalm chapter 22, verse 3 says God inhabits the praises of His people. In other words, when you praise God, God shows up. And Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, in His presence is fullness of joy. So you praise God, God shows up, He gives you the joy, the anxiety goes. And what's the key to the whole thing? Verse 4, what do we rejoice in? We rejoice in the Lord, not in our circumstances. Not in your 401k or your dream house or your grandkids or your health, even the MRI that turned out fine. Because every single one of those things can change. Your joy does not depend on circumstances. Our happiness depends on what's going to happen in the future. But our joy depends on what God has already done for us in the past. How He opened your eyes to the truth of the gospel. And saved your soul from an eternity in hell. And seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now tell me again, what was it that you were worried about? Rejoice in the Lord. And people, we got all kinds of reasons to rejoice in the Lord. The atmosphere here on planet Earth is 79% nitrogen, 21% free oxygen. And that ratio is exactly the same everywhere on this planet, from the highest mountains to the deepest caves. Any more nitrogen, we'd all be poisoned to death by nitric oxide. Any more oxygen, we'd all be breathing laughing gas and talking like Donald Duck until we all dropped dead from cardiac arrest because our hearts would beat out of our chest. Everything on earth perfectly fine-tuned for life. Rejoice in the Lord! A woman's hair is twice as strong as a guy's hair. And you know why? Because God knew that guys would make women want to pull their hair out. So God made an allowance for it. Rejoice in the Lord. So before we freak out about anything bad that may happen in the future, can we just rejoice in what God has already done for us now? Every time NASA comes out with a picture of some galaxy or some star that exploded a gazillion light years away in the universe, everybody takes a look at it and goes, ooh and ah, and just for a couple of seconds, they get reminded of how awesome God really is. But if you want to see something that really blows your mind, something that is far more incredible and complex and amazing than anything you will ever see in outer space, take a look at that. With all the colors and all the details. Have any idea what that is? And just a hint, that is not the city of Los Angeles or New York City or Hong Kong lit up at night. That is not Disneyland shooting off fireworks at night. A year ago, a cancer researcher at Stanford University came out with the most detailed model of a human cell ever made, based on data from X-rays, magnetic resonance, and electron microscopes. That is a lateral view of one human cell with more moving parts than a million nuclear reactors all working together, perfectly synchronized. And get this, there are 30 trillion more cells in your body exactly like that one, all working together, repairing themselves, replacing themselves. So even though you lose 10 billion cells in your body every single day, they're instantly replaced just like that without your body missing a beat, like servicing a car at 150 miles an hour. And how in the world, people, how in the world could your body do something like that? I'll tell you how. Because there is an awesome God who thought up all of that and created your body to do exactly that. Amen. Notice, created, not evolved. Because there's no way in the world that evolution could have ever produced something like that. Because not even one single human cell could have ever evolved over millions and millions of years. Because all the parts of that cell had to be totally there from the very beginning, up and running, totally coordinated, or that soul would have never even survived to start with. Don't tell me that you are not a special creation of God. Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise and I worship and I rejoice in the Lord because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And folks, if God already had everything about your life already figured out and put together in there, don't you think that God also has everything about your life already figured out and put together out here? Of course He does. The first thing that we need to do in order to overcome anxiety, we need to rejoice. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to overcome anxiety. We not only need to rejoice, we also need to pray. Verse 6, make your requests known to God. Pray. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. The reason we stress out about it is because we don't pray about it. James chapter 4, verse 3. We have not because we ask not. Pray. Amen. Because prayer overcomes anxiety. That's right. And let me ask you this morning, what else are you going to trust to overcome your anxiety and to take care of it? You've heard of goat yoga? Now it's cow cuddling. Farmers all over America right now are charging people $75 an hour to come and cuddle with their cows. Because it's supposed to relieve stress. But folks, I grew up on a farm. I can tell you cows cause stress. They don't take the stress away. So cuddling a cow is just bull. Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust today to overcome your anxiety? You going to trust the so-called medical professionals and the CDC to help you overcome your anxiety? 2 weeks ago, the CDC said, oh, we made a mistake. You don't have to social distance 6 feet from everybody else. Now it can be 3 feet. What? And get this. The CDC also said, oh, we were wrong. You can't get COVID from surfaces like we originally told you. Are you kidding me? People spent an entire year treating other people like lepers. And billions of dollars and thousands of hours scrubbing and disinfecting until their homes were cleaner than a hyperbaric chamber. I know people who would wipe down containers of Lysol wipes with other Lysol wipes when they brought them home from the store. People who put their dogs and cats to sleep because the CDC said they could be carrying COVID. Why in the world would we ever believe anything they ever tell us again? And Dr. Anthony Fauci. When has Dr. Fauci ever been right about anything? And if he really is the number one health expert in this country on infectious diseases and 700,000 people died on his watch, why does that man still have a job? Amen. And now the so-called experts are doing what? They are doing nothing but continuing to hype the COVID fear to make this pandemic last as long as they possibly can. So Joe Biden can keep using COVID as an excuse to spin this country into socialism. And use mail-in ballots to steal the midterm elections too. And to let corrupt blue states like Illinois file for bankruptcy so they can get even more bailouts. And you hear that hype on every side. The national director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, now says she sees impending doom for the United States because of all the COVID variants. Students at the University of Illinois are still being locked in their dorm rooms. Governor J.B. Pritzker still has no plan or intention at all to ever fully reopen the state of Illinois. Joe Biden said last month, if you're good, maybe, just maybe, he will let you get together with your family members on the 4th of July. If everybody wears a Michelin Man suit. People, it's absolutely ridiculous because the fact is COVID has actually been waning in the United States ever since last October. Airplane flights are 90% full. Johns Hopkins University says America has already reached herd immunity. The jig is up, people. We know what's going on. You're going to pray and trust God? You're going to trust the experts? You're going to trust masks? Because from the very beginning, the so-called experts lied to us and told us everybody was going to die of COVID if everybody didn't wear a mask. But 3 weeks into this pandemic, we already knew the truth. It was only really the very old people and the very sick people, people suffering from serious pre-existing medical conditions that really needed to wear a mask. 90% of all deaths from COVID are people over 70. 97% of all people who die from COVID had comorbidities. 97%. The fatality rate from COVID is 90 times higher for people over 70 than it is for people under 30. But in spite of that, Dr. Fauci and the CDC made everybody in this country mask up like a Biden rally. Even though they knew that masks will not totally protect people from COVID. The hole in the average mask that Americans are wearing today is 3 microns wide. The coronavirus itself is 0.125 microns wide. Hundreds and hundreds of times smaller. And an article in Nature Communications magazine, a study proved asymptomatic people with no symptoms of COVID should not be wearing masks. So folks, the entire justification for this whole stupid lockdown is absolutely ridiculous. The whole country got scammed. Now, can wearing a mask stop some particles of COVID? Absolutely it can. So if you're listening to this sermon right now, you want to wear a mask, do it. You do whatever you think you need to do in order to stay healthy for the sake of your own health and for the sake of the health of the people around. We have no problem with that. That's our policy at Fox River Church. It never will be. Always will be. But there is no rational, scientific justification whatsoever for wearing a mask outside. Did you see Joe Biden last week, Arlington National Cemetery, outside, all by himself, wearing a mask, milking the pandemic propaganda for all it's worth? Sunlight, UV light, crushes the virus to pieces, and then the wind blows it away. So the left is not following the science. They're only following the scientists that bow down and kiss Joe Biden's feet and are willing to go by the agenda. You're going to pray and trust God? You're going to trust the experts? Are you going to trust vaccines? Because again, from the very beginning, The experts lied to us and told us that every single person needs to get a vaccine or we're all going to die. When again, it's really only the very old and the very sick we need to be concerned about. All the rest of us, why should we take a vaccine for a virus that 99.97% of people recover from anyway without a vaccine? People who haven't been sick all year are supposed to willing get sick by taking a shot that's supposed to protect them from something that hasn't made them sick all year. It doesn't make any sense. Right now in the state of Illinois, anybody over the age of 16 can get a COVID shot. There is no reason in God's green earth why children should have to get a COVID shot. I can show you the science. And what they didn't tell you is this vaccine is not technically a vaccine. Because what it does is plant a protein in your body that's supposed to stimulate your immune system to produce antibodies against the virus. The vaccine does not stop you from getting COVID. It does not stop you from spreading COVID. What it's supposed to do is lessen the intensity of the symptoms if you do get COVID. And they knew. They knew from the very beginning that there were risks. You say, well, Kevin, only 6 women got blood clots from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Out of 7 million vaccines administered, that's less than 1 in a million. No. According to HHS, all over the world, 2,342 people died after taking the vaccine. And every single case, they say, it didn't have anything to do with the vaccine. Of course it did. 7,971 serious injuries after taking the vaccine. Over 54,000 adverse effects. And a study came out last week that showed all of the vaccines, not just Johnson & Johnson, all of the vaccines carry the same risk when it comes to blood clots and autoimmune disorders. So, Kevin, you're telling us we shouldn't take the COVID vaccine? I'm saying the government should tell you the truth so people can make an honest, informed decision. If you're listening to this sermon right now and you had a COVID vaccine or you want to take a COVID vaccine, you are free citizens living in a free country. You do whatever you think you need to do in order to stay healthy or to keep the people around you healthy, or to save your job, or to even see your grandkids, because I know those cases are right there. I have no problem with the choice that you make. None. That's your choice to take it. My problem is the left doesn't want to give me a choice not to take it. In America today, a woman can choose to have an abortion doctor stick a scalpel in her uterus, butcher her unborn baby, and sell the parts for scrap. But you're telling me I don't have a choice of a medical doctor sticking a needle in my arm and giving me an experimental vaccine that's going to alter my DNA with no liability from the company that produced it? That's insane! You talk about anxiety. And how many Christians are just like, what are we going to do with this situation? You pray. Because God always, 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 always answers prayer. I don't care how stressful the situation may be. Last March the 22nd, Boulder, Colorado, 21-year-old Ahmad Alyssa drove to the King Supers grocery store, pulled out a Ruger 5.56 and started shooting. Killed 10 people, the worst mass shooting in Colorado since the theater shooting in Aurora in 2012. Well, one of the people who was working behind the Starbucks counter that day at the King Supers was a 21-year-old born-again Christian named Logan Smith. 2:30 in the afternoon, he heard shots outside, ran out and saw that Ahmad Alyssa had already shot and killed 2 people in the parking lot and was headed for the store entrance. So Logan Smith called 911 and started praying, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. And because he was already outside of the store, all he needed to do was run to his car, get in and drive away, and he'd have been safe. So he started praying, Jesus, help me make it to the car. Jesus, help me make it to the car. But Jesus told him, I want you to go back in the store where the shooter was headed. So he started praying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Because Ahmad Alyssa was only 15 feet away from him. But then amazingly and miraculously, it was like God made Logan Smith invisible to that shooter because the shooter just walked right by him without even seeing him. God answers prayer. Logan Smith followed him into the store and ran over to the Starbucks counter and helped his coworker, a 23-year-old girl, hide under that counter. And Logan Smith tried to hide under that counter too, but because he's 6'4" tall, his arms and legs were sticking out all over the place. And Ahmad Alyssa walked over to that counter, even looked underneath of it. And Logan Smith is praying, Jesus help me, sticking out like a sore thumb. And again, amazingly, miraculously, like God made Logan Smith invisible to that shooter because Ahmad Alyssa never saw him and kept on walking. God answers prayer. And people started screaming and running, diving under counters, trying to hide in stairwells and storerooms. And then it got deathly quiet. Except for the sound of Ahmad Alyssa shooting one victim after the other when he found them. And then he would laugh after he killed them. Folks, you talk about demonic. You talk about people scared out of their minds. You think you got anxiety in your life? Then when Ahmad Alyssa went to the far part of the store, Logan Smith jumped out of that counter, helped some people find some hiding places, and even led seven people out the front door to safety in the parking lot. And again, he's outside the store in the parking lot. All he had to do was start running and keep running. But again, Jesus told him to go back into the store. So Logan Smith prayed again, Jesus help me, Jesus help me. The very nanosecond he got through the front door, Ahmad Alyssa turned a corner around one of the aisles, even made eye contact with him. But again, it was like God made Logan Smith invisible to him because Ahmad Alyssa never saw him and kept on walking. By that time, the police got there. And a SWAT team used an armored vehicle to crash through the entrance of that store. So Ahmad Alyssa started rolling rows of grocery carts between him and the entrance about 30 feet away from Logan Smith. He's getting ready for a shootout. And when the SWAT team members jumped out of that vehicle, Logan Smith jumped up and pointed from about 30 feet away. The shooter is there. And again, even though Ahmad Alyssa made eye contact with him, it was like God made Logan Smith invisible to that shooter because he never got shot. And then when Ahmad Alyssa jumped behind those grocery carts, Logan Smith grabbed nine people, ran them to the back of the store, and got them safe outside the building. Meanwhile, Ahmad Alyssa shot it out with the police, got hit in the leg, and eventually was taken into custody. Folks, that 21-year-old kid not only supernaturally escaped being shot himself, he also helped dozens and dozens and dozens of other people not be shot too. God purposely put that 21-year-old kid in that absolutely horrific situation so he could help save and rescue other people who were in the exact same horrific situation that he was in.
Hallelujah.
This is what Logan Smith said. I started out praying that God would just get me out of this instead of praying and asking how he wanted to use me in this. Sometimes God doesn't answer the prayer you prayed. He answers the prayer you should have prayed. Prayer puts us in the will of God. So if you're listening to this sermon this morning and you're wondering why in the world God hasn't gotten you out of that bad situation you're in, maybe God doesn't want to get you out of that bad situation. Maybe God wants you to stay in that bad situation so you can help and be a blessing to all kinds of people who are in that bad situation right along with you. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. And even more, to accept that whatever your answer is really the best thing. The second thing that we need to do in order to overcome anxiety, we need to pray. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to overcome anxiety. We not only need to rejoice, we not only need to pray, but we need to receive that peace that God gives us and hold on to it. You give God your anxiety, God will give you His peace. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't freak out about anything. Don't have a cow about anything. You pray about it, God will give you a peace about it. And verse 7, that peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds like soldiers in an army to keep that anxiety away. So what do we need to do to hold on to it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. You take every thought captive, which means every single day you stay in the Word and you stay in prayer. And you play Christian praise music around your house day and night. And you don't watch mainstream news like CNN, the Communist News Network. And what's the result going to be? Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and what? And what? Peace. You 86, all the stinking thinking. Nothing good's going to happen. Nothing's ever going to change. The country's already gone to hell. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go and eat worms. No. You don't just listen to yourself. Talk to yourself out of the Word. Because what comes out of here is not true. What comes out of here is what's true. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God calls things that are not as though they were. That's what's true. We got to get rid of this stupid idea today that life is always supposed to be totally 100% safe. The new unholy trinity that Americans are worship right now. Safety, security, and an abundance of caution. Safety uber alles. Today we have safe spaces where people aren't supposed to be able to hurt you. Schools today have safe zones where people aren't even supposed to be able to disagree with you. Like safety and affirmation are inalienable constitutional rights. Miley Cyrus says this, I have a right to feel totally safe 100% of the time. Okay, who do we see about that? Because not even God has promised us that life is going to be safe. Because He tells us right at the beginning, right up front, it's not going to be. Folks, it's impossible. Real life in this fallen world is never safe. Every single life, every single day is in danger. And everybody used to know that until today. 451 people died in America last year just from falling out of bed. 24 people in America were killed last year by champagne corks. The closest I ever came to dying in my entire life, I got a bad infection just sitting on a beach. So guess what? There's no such thing as a safe zone or a safe space in America today or the world today. Because life itself is not safe. So the only safety we have is being in Christ. So suck it up, trust Jesus Christ for salvation, and hold on to that hope. Dr. Fauci tells us that all the vaccines are overrated for COVID. Because they're not a cure-all and they're never going to get America back to normal. And I hate to say this, but he's absolutely right. Because coronavirus ain't going anywhere. Because viruses do not just disappear. They just keep mutating and changing into different forms. That's why we have the flu every single year. So if you're listening to this message this morning and you're putting your entire life on hold, waiting for this whole COVID thing to blow over, I got to tell you are wasting your life and you are wasting your time waiting for something that is never going to happen. And what's even worse, globalists like Dr. Fauci now want us to use this pandemic to fight so-called man-made climate change. This is what he said. This is the era of the pandemic. So there's always going to be another one. And the ideal is for us to use this pandemic to start the necessary fight against man-made climate change by everybody just continuing to wear masks. People are used to masks now anyway because they see them as a fashion accessory and something to promote their favorite sports teams. Folks, if that doesn't rattle your cage, I don't know what does. But see, we can still hold on to hope no matter what kind of weight is pressuring us from the outside. The picture you see on the screen is a bug called the ironclad beetle. And the reason it's called ironclad is because those things are virtually uncrushable. Researchers at Purdue University even ran over some with cars, and it still didn't kill them. And you know why? Because the ironclad beetle has a series of armor-like plates that interlock with each other and flex when they get outside pressure. And because of that, those beetles can withstand 39,000 times their body weight. And what's the lesson for us? Stress is not something bad that happens out there. Stress is just how we respond in here to the bad thing out there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we cast all of our cares on the Lord. Just like that bug, the pressure we feel in here from the bad thing out there doesn't crush us to death either. That peace of God that passes all understanding is our shield. Last January, the second oldest person in the whole wide world, a French nun named Sister Andre, got COVID. She got treated. Last February the 9th, she was totally recovered. 2 days before her 114th birthday. Folks, that woman got COVID at 113. You talk about having risk factors that are off the charts. But when she was asked if she was afraid, this is what she said. I wasn't afraid at all because I know where I'm going when I die. And that always gives me peace. 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. And the question is, Christians, can we hold on to that peace? Even with all the storms that are raging in our country right now? Because right now we are looking at a power grab, the likes of which has never been seen in the entire history of the United States. The left already controls the White House. They want to end the filibuster and add two more states so they can control the Senate forever. They want to pack the Supreme Court so they can control the judicial branch forever, so they can rubber stamp everything that they want to do to destroy this nation as it was founded and turn it into a socialist hellhole. The left already controls the entire media and social media because it's nothing but a propaganda wing of the Democrat Party. They totally control public education, the entire entertainment industry, and now all of sports. And now they're using corporations to pressure individual states to vote against election reform. People, this isn't democracy, it's tyranny. A one-party government doing absolutely everything it wants without any debate, without any opposition at all, in a nation's capital surrounded by military troops and razor wire. People, Nazis and communists do things like this. And the scariest thing of all, half the people in America seem to be perfectly okay with it. Folks, a country cannot survive when 50% of its population hates it and wants to see it destroyed. But Christians, listen to me. We don't have to put up with this because we follow a higher authority than government itself. Yes, the left has big government and the big state and big media and big education and big pharma. I could go on and on. But we Christians have something that the left doesn't have, and that's a really big God. Amen. President Donald Trump said this. Faith is more powerful than government, and God is more powerful than anything. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind, peace. So what do? We cry out to God, because God always, always, always sees us through the storm, no matter how hellacious that storm may be. Last March the 4th, three tornadoes cut a swath across Middle Tennessee. And one of the hardest hit places was the north side of the city of Nashville, where an F4 tornado with winds over 180 miles an hour destroyed all kinds of homes and businesses. And what made it even worse, six tornado sirens around the city of Nashville malfunctioned. So a lot of people hardly got any warning at all, especially people around 23rd Avenue and Foreman Street. Now, two of the people who lived on that street was 41-year-old Troy Coleman and his 76-year-old mother, Colleen. And they were both born-again Christians. 1 a.m. that morning, they were sound asleep because the tornado sirens hadn't gotten off. But they woke up to the sound of the freight train. And Troy ran to his mom's bedroom. And they realized the tornado was coming. And usually in bad weather, they go next door to Mrs. Dudley's house because Mrs. Dudley has a basement in her house and the Colemans don't. So Troy was getting his mom ready to go next door when all of a sudden the Spirit of God spoke to their heart and said, just go to the living room and sit in the corner. The living room, not Mrs. Dudley's house, not even the bathroom, the living room. The living room is a corner room. It's the same direction the tornado was coming from. How in the world is a living room supposed to protect them? God said, go to the living room and sit in the corner. And then he said this, look to me and I will watch over you. So Troy Coleman got his mom. They got to the living room. He set her down in the corner. He stretched his own body out of hers. And then with a couple of blankets, covered both of them up. The very nanosecond they got settled, that tornado hit that house, tore the roof off, blew up the walls, debris flying everywhere, wind howling so bad they didn't think any way in the world they were ever going to survive it. And all of a sudden, just like that, that tornado was gone. And it was quiet. And when Troy Coleman and his mother Colleen got up off that floor, they could not believe what they saw. Absolutely everything in that house was completely destroyed and blown away. The side of the wall was blown away. The roof was blown away. The other walls were blown away. The bathroom was blown away. And they could look next door and see that Mrs. Dudley's house had been completely destroyed and collapsed into the basement, crushing everything underneath of it. No wonder God told them not to go there. Absolutely everything in that Coleman house was completely destroyed and blown away except for the two walls that made up the corner of that living room. Exactly the place that God told them to hunker down in. Jesus said, look to me and I will watch over you. Then they almost keeled over when they saw it. Absolutely everything in that house had been completely destroyed and blown away, except for the two walls that made up the living room corner and a picture of Jesus that Colleen Coleman had above the fireplace on one of those walls. A picture of Jesus in a very cheap, plastic, flimsy frame that, get this, hadn't even been nailed into that wall. She just had it on top of the mantle, leaning against the wall. Folks, winds of a tornado, 180 miles an hour, absolutely ripped that house to shreds. Destroyed the house, destroyed the walls, destroyed the roof, even blew the fixtures in the bathroom away. But all those tornado winds didn't move that picture of Jesus even one micron of a millimeter.
Hallelujah.
This is the story.
Nashville, looking for a sign of hope tonight. For one Nashville man, it's that picture that you just saw right there in the midst of a destroyed home. Parts of North Nashville were plastered in the storms. News 4's Cameron Taylor talked to the man with a beacon of hope in the neighborhoods. Cameron.
Yeah, Lauren, this has been the talk of the neighborhood among the devastation and destruction is this image of Jesus. And for the man who lives here, it's a sign of comfort. This is what's left of Troy Coleman's home in North Nashville. His living room is now out in the open. One powerful image sits front and center on top of the fireplace.
He still watches over us no matter what.
Coleman says he prepared for the tornado by hunkering down. He said it came through quickly.
It's there, we're still here. My mother and I, we made it out. We're okay.
Troy Coleman said this. Jesus was with us just like he promised. Whether he'd let us live or taken us home, he was with us. And he left that picture there to give us some peace and some hope and to remind us all he still watches over us no matter what.
Hallelujah.
Folks, you know how we can overcome anxiety and have absolute peace no matter what kind of hellacious storms we may have to go through from time to time? Because we know with all of our hearts, Jesus will either deliver us from those storms or he will give us all the peace that we need to see us through them. Because we cry out to Jesus Christ, he always, 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 always watches over us. Romans chapter 8, verse 39, nothing in all creation, not even an F4 tornado, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, I don't care what kind of storm that you're going through right now personally. I don't care what kind of storm our country's going through right now nationally. Jesus will not only get us through it, he will also give us all the peace that passes all understanding that we need to see us through it. And how do we know that Jesus will do that? Because he's always done it for us in the past. Jesus has always been there for us. In all the storms, all the trials, all the fears, all the temptations, all the doubts and the worries, there was Jesus.
When his life ahead crashing to the ground, when the friends ahead were nowhere to be found, couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, everywhere I need to know it, I couldn't see it. There was Jesus. This man man who needs an amazing kind of grace. Forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, though I thank God at every day. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, like a blessing buried in the mountain, in the valleys,
there was Jesus.
In the shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire and the flood,
there was Jesus.
Always does and always was. I'll never walk alone.
Searching, in the healing of the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces.
Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it, I couldn't see it. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.